Well, happy Sabbath, everybody. A lovely, pretty day out here today. So, do we know how fragile and temporary our lives truly are? How we're provided a small allotment of time to make something out of our lives? How many days are left? Do you have 30 days? Or do you have 30 years? Our life paths are measured in years, but our thoughts and actions are measured in moments. Do we recognize how precious our allotted time is? How truly here and now is? Let's ask ourselves a question. How would I live today if I knew there would be no tomorrow? Let me ask this again. How would I live today if I knew there would be no tomorrow? For a lot of times in my career, in financial planning, I would go meet a young couple in their home, and I would say, let's assume death occurred yesterday. What would your life look like? And this, again, was a way to sell life insurance and some type of savings plan so they would look, you know, forward to the future and do some planning. But a person who is seeking a relationship with the Father in Jesus Christ, the recommendation to all of us is to have a spiritual savings plan, a spiritual savings plan. And this leads me to the title and purpose of my message, the title being The Savings Plan. The question is, how do I invest in a spiritual savings plan? Hypothetical question, thinking a little bit here. Have you realized how some things have happened to us just by being at the wrong place at the wrong time? The question is, can repenting of sins keep us from being in the wrong place at the wrong time? So we're going to look at a couple scriptures today. They're in Luke 12 and 13. So let's go ahead and turn to Luke 13, and we'll start there. Luke 13, verses 1 through 5. There were present at that season some who told him about the Galatians whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. This is a historical event. It's not really well known and well written about, but it was possible that some followers of a fellow named Judas of Galilee, some 20 years before this, he was teaching that the Jews should not pay tribute to Rome. And we learn in Acts 5:37, there's a little reference to this, that he drew himself a multitude of followers, and all of them being slain or dispersed. And this is according to the Jameson Fawcett Brown Bible commentary. The thought is that these Galatians were killed while they were offering sacrifices to God, and their blood had become mingled because of what Pilate had done to them. Verse 2, Luke 13, 2. And Jesus answered them, do you suppose these Galatians were worse sinners than all other Galatians because they suffered such things? Were they worse sinners? Jesus says, I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Verse 4. Or those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? Verse 5, Jesus says, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Clearly, Jesus is telling us to repent or we will likewise perish. Repenting. Repenting begins with crying out to God for forgiveness of our sins and accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Repenting is about changing the way we're living and turning ourselves around from a path that we're on. Jesus is clearly saying here that changing our lifestyle will affect our lives. This is where your spiritual savings plan comes into place. You think about it. When we repent, we alter our paths of life. Perhaps now we attend Sabbath services rather than race a motorcycle on the weekends. And maybe we don't go shopping at a mall on Saturday, but we're here keeping the Sabbath services. I think something profound happens, that keeping the commandments alters time and chance. I mean, that's a pretty wild speculation, but because we are keeping the commandments, we are changing our lifestyle, we're changing the way we do things, and we're ending up in different places than we would have otherwise. Repenting and keeping the commandments changes who we are, what we do, and where we might be. And God wants us to faithfully avoid the pathways of life that promote tragedy. He wants blessings to come upon us. So now Jesus spoke an idea, a parable, to make this idea a little bit clearer. So let's look at this further on in Luke 13. We really don't have to turn our pages. We just have to go down to verse 6, where he begins the parable of the fig tree. Luke 13, 6, he also spoke this parable, saying, "A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the keeper of the vineyard, 'Look, for 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?'" Verse 8, but the keeper of the tree said, "Please, sir, let it alone this year also till I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, we'll cut it down." Now from the website fruitgrove.com comes helpful information of why a fig tree might not produce fruit and why we may not be producing fruit. You see, trees can get under stress, just like us. We can get under stress too. Maybe we blame the stress on a euphemistic, the cares of the world. But those cares include our health needs, which are very personal to us. They also include caregiver needs, caring for other people, changing our schedule, our time, in order to take care of others. And we also have to have time to simply make a living so we can have food, so we can have clothing, so we can have shelter. Like fig trees bearing little or no fruit, we too can have physical as well as spiritual issues that can keep us from bearing that fruit. A fig tree can lack water. We may lack enough of that Holy Spirit, the living water that we read about. But also, overwatering can be an issue. Disease, extreme temperatures, overfertilization, and improper pruning can also make a fruitless tree. Consider how somebody can be seeking God with their whole heart, but they're looking at it from too many sources. Perhaps some of these false prophets start creeping into your mind, and you start hearing some false doctrines. And that's like over-fertilization. It can burn you out. Some knowledge may be corrupt and lead us on a wrong path. Again, not that path that God wants us to keep by keeping His commandments. And spiritual sickness can help. And we've seen this happen. And perhaps this person who's listening to too much information starts doing the wrong thing. So the proverbial pruning, you know, gets done improperly and no fruit. For us, we need to also know that it takes good drainage soil. You need to plant your tree in some place where the water is flowing through those roots. Because if it's not flowing through, that water is getting stagnant and ugly, and it's going to poison and rot the roots. We're the same way. We need that Holy Spirit flowing through us, constantly recharging us, re-energizing us. Now, we should be having the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, or you may say patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The good fruit of our repentant lives, nurtured by the Father, will keep us from perishing. Unless we repent, we will all likewise perish. So let me ask a question again. How do I invest in a spiritual savings plan? Well, we need to redeem the time because each day counts. And not for the day's sake, but for God's sake and what He has purposely chosen for us to do. Now, time is a creation of our Creator God, and it's a factor used in measuring a return of our talents. Now, how we spend our time and what we spend our time on are essential components being looked at for quality and righteousness in our lives. On that day when our time of testing and judgment is finished, when the oxygen stops and our physical shell expires, will we know that God is granting us eternity with Him? Jesus gave a parable that explains what happens when we place our life efforts on our selfish ways and ignore bearing spiritual fruit. That is in Luke 12, just across the page in my Bible, verses 16 through 21. Jesus describes a rich man who wanted to only eat, drink, and be merry. He had no time or thought for God. So Luke 12, verse 16, then Jesus spoke to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?'" This makes me think of, you know, some of these people I work with. It's like they've made so much money during their lives, their retirement plans are just overfilling. It's like, now what do I do? He says, "I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns. I'll build greater, and they'll store all my crops, all my goods, all my wealth, all my resources that I've built over the years. And then I'll say to my soul, 'Soul, you have so much laid up for many years. Let's take it easy. Let's eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul be required of you. Then whose those things be that you stored up and you have provided?'" In verse 21, "So it is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." The rich man believed he had years to enjoy his pleasures, but God required his life that very night. If the rich man had learned to bear spiritual fruit, he would have pursued ventures that had eternal significance. We can learn from this parable that none of us know how many days will be granted, so we must not waste them on silly, selfish pursuits that have no real value. Jesus Christ spoke directly on the topic of accidents, natural disasters, and even persecution as it relates to a person's sins. How should we live today if we know there's no tomorrow? Jesus gave us two examples of people who suffered, some who were slaughtered by Roman officials, others who had died when a large tower suddenly fell on them. He pointed out that these people who died were not worse sinners than those of the same town who were unharmed. But instead, he taught that unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Through repentance and being fruitful, we find that we have a spiritual savings plan that is fully invested in the relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ.